Song Doodlin' with Horace Silva at the piano, who's also the arranger for the song, Hank Mobley on tenor sax, Kenny Dorm on trumpet, and Doug Watkins on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Tuesday, July the 30th, and it is open forum, but we are debating two questions today. You know, the things are bad and the pickings slim when prostitute patron ex-Governor Eliot Spitzer, now a candidate for comptroller in the city of New York, thinks the weenie-texting ex-Congressman Anthony Weiner is an embarrassment to politics and should quit the race for mayor. And Weiner was in the lead. So the question here: with candidates like these running under the Democratic banner, is it not the best time to dump the Democratic Party? Should we punish the Democratic Party for producing candidates like these? And while NSA super leaker Edward Snowden continues his exile in Moscow's airport, his dad, Lonnie, has revved up his campaign to force the Obama administration to agree to terms that might encourage his son to return to the United States. In any event, says Lonnie Snowden, his son has done the right thing by exposing the NSA's massive cyber surveillance program, and he is firmly in his son's corner. So the question, should the U.S. government negotiate Snowden's return and the charges, whatever they might be, against him? Those are the two questions, and you get to figure out what the answer is. What is your point of view? And let's get a debate going. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. That's the question. That's the number to call and to respond to the question. Pick one. Hello, you're on the air. Harvey from Berkeley.
Hi, Eutrice. Well,
hello.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Good. I hope your dental problem is well on its way to healing.
Me too. Thank you.
Good. Good. Well, let's talk about the Edward Snowden thing. I think he's a hero, like Paul Revere. And the thing is that this company he worked for, Booz Allen, was they get most of their money from government contracts. I looked them up on Wikipedia, and basically they take volumes of information and they assemble it in such a way as to give it meaning. But this information in the hands of a private company, this government information in the hands of a private company, can be worked not only to, you know, potentially find terrorists, which I think, you know, why are we paying the CIA, the FBI, Homeland Security, billions and billions and billions of dollars a year to keep track of people who would do harm to America? You know,
but you're kind of off track. You're close,
yes.
But you're still off track.
Well,
question,
the thing is yes,
should
go ahead.
Should the U.S. government negotiate Snowden's return and negotiate whatever charges it's considering against him?
I think they should negotiate it, because, again, I think that he's alerted them, in fact, especially politicians, because I think that this pervasive spying opens politicians up to blackmail. You know, maybe they they're having an affair, something, and it could all be used against them. And another thing is the stock market. Say that suddenly there's a flurry of calls. There could be logarithms set up to monitor, a flurry of calls or something, and in the stock market among certain groups, and the red flag goes up, and then somebody, they can monitor the call and see that this stock or that stock is about to be sold or about to be bought. So this money, this information could also be used to make money. And
what would the U.S. government, what is the incentive for the United States government to make an exception and negotiate with Mr. Snowden?
Well, I feel that he actually did this on behalf of the American public to inform the public that the Constitution is being violated here in the name of perhaps profit or other reasons. I mean, it's also bad because it leads to self-censorship. You know, a person's thinking, well, I shouldn't call this one, shouldn't speak to that one, shouldn't talk about this. And we find that when people self-censor, it's kind of a very negative thing. It's like creates stress, and stress is the harbinger of illness. And therefore, NSA is making the American people sick in a way.
All right. You got us started, Harvey.
Okay.
You got us started today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yutri.
Thank Bye-bye. You. The question, should the U.S. government negotiate with Edward Snowden for his return? And should it also negotiate whatever charges it is contemplating bringing against him? You're on the air, Sarah.
Oh, greetings to you, Yutri. So am I being heard?
Thank you. Yes, you are.
Well, Yutri, I was going to touch on, if I may touch on, this is open forum, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, we're debating two questions today.
Okay.
On open forum, yes. We're talking about whether, with the kinds of caliber, and I'm using that word advisedly, of candidates being offered by the Democratic Party,
uh-huh.
is this not a time for people to say we reject a party that would find that these people actually merit our consideration for election, and we therefore reject the party? And with regard to Snowden, should the government negotiate with Ed Snowden for his return?
Okay, on the DNC, what I believe what we need to do is to abstain. If you are looking at voting for the better of two evils and there is nothing out there that you can do, whether or not you want to do a write-in, if a write-in candidate is allowed, then you may want to do that, or you should abstain. Because what I am looking at doing is coming up here in the midterm, I have not made up my mind if I'm going to vote, because I'm going to weigh the options between now and then to see whether or not what's on the table, what fits my best interest, and if nothing out there fits into what is in the best interest of myself, I'm going to abstain, because I see no use in voting just because people want to say, well, people die. No one dies for me to get the right to vote. People went out there to exercise their right to vote, and in the process, they were killed. They did not go out there sacrificing themselves for future generations. So we need to take the Jesus Christ sacrifice for all off the table that we have when it comes to voting. So if there is not, because I look at it like this, if I go out here and I vote, and I put someone in office and they don't do anything for me, it's just as bad as if I abstain and I don't vote, because we get the same thing. Voting and not voting, you end up with the same option. With the Snowden situation, I watched an interview on, I believe it was Pierce Morgan with his father and the attorney, Bruce Fine, and I find it to be very, very distasteful, very high-handed, because here it is, you are ordinary citizen. First of all, he was contradicting himself. He said that his son knew what he was doing, and he chose to go out there and to do what he did. Then all of a sudden he's backtracking to saying, okay, blaming the Obama administration that they're trying to do harm to his child and blah, blah, blah. If he knew he was exercising that option, and I know that as a whistleblower, as a spy, secret agent, double agent, whatever term he wants to put on him, you know that when you go out there on that limb, as we discussed previously, you cut that branch off and you're going to fall. If you don't have a safety net under you, to wield all your options as to what it is you plan on doing once you disclose this information, then you need to face the consequences. You need to take the responsibility. You like to always tell other folks they need to take responsibility, but when it comes to you, oh, no, it's somebody else's fault. It's not my fault. I don't need to take responsibility. You went out there. You leaked that information. You should have weighed all your options to see where, what foxhole I need to crawl into in the event this stuff doesn't fall out into my way. So, therefore, I have somewhere to go. Now, you want to impose yourself on all these countries. The Russians want to get you out of their way. You can't go to anywhere in South America because, as the father and the attorney said, the U.S. have all operatives down there, and he's afraid he could be renditioned or could be assassinated and create turmoil in those countries, as I said previously. So now he's stuck in somebody else's soil. They're trying to negotiate him to get him back here. They're making him out, Utrecht, as I said. This man is a double agent. I don't care what people want to say. He's a double agent. There's something else going on with him. It's fishy. It doesn't pass the smell test. But now they're trying to play it up in the media as he's the victim. That's
okay.
What they're trying to do.
So you're basically moving away from the party, and Ed Snowden should receive no special treatment whatsoever.
No, he should not. If Bradley Manning know what he did, he got caught. He went before a court martial. He's probably going to spend the rest of his life in prison. So
Ed Snowden
needs to face the same consequences. You leak information. Go out there and take your dose of medicine like everybody else. Take your slice of orange and swallow this castor oil and let it go on down.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
But how do you really feel, Sarah? Thank you so much for your opinion today. All right. So we're off to a good start. Would a party that brings to the people, that presents to the people, the likes of Elliot Spitzer and Anthony Weiner, should such a party actually be forgiven for an act like that, for allowing such people to run under its banner as viable candidates for people to choose from for their leadership? What does that say about the party? Would this not be a good time to send a signal to the party that no, they may meet your standards, but they certainly don't meet ours? And secondly, should the United States negotiate Edward Snowden's return to the United States, and should it also negotiate whatever charges are being contemplated against him, which is what his father insists ought to be done, that the Obama administration, he does not have very kind words for the Obama administration because his son is a hero, he says. Eric, you're on the air. What are your views?
Hey, Utrecht.
Hello.
Well, I wanted to make a comment on Snowden.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with his father. And I think that as a father trying to protect his son, and I don't think they're really demanding anything. The father is standing up for his son, and he has a right to do that.
I think
there's so much energy put into Snowden and where he's at and what he's doing. And I think that shouldn't be the focus. I think the focus should be on what he revealed. Because there's an assumption, I believe, that there's a lot of people...
But the question, you have to deal with the question. The question is, should the United States negotiate his return according to the terms?
I don't think anybody expects that. The United States does not operate legally or lawfully. This is the funny thing. So whether you discuss any kind of terms, that's not going to apply when you get into the gulag, you know? So this is a joke that they're going to make, you know, decide what's the destiny of Snowden if he ever gets captured or if he ever gets into the hand of the military. They're going to work it out so that they do just what they mean to do with him, regardless of whatever people say. You know, look at how they dealt with the president of which president was it? I forget. Hello?
Which president are you talking about?
I'm talking about the president whose airplane was not allowed to enter.
Evo Morales.
You know, if they could do that with the president of a country, why are we even entertaining the idea that Snowden and his father are going to get their way, you know, their term? They're not going to get it, you know, and the focus, I think, would be better placed on what he's revealed. And I believe that ignorance in this society is rampant. There's so many ignorant people that have no clue. The government has succeeded. The power apparatus has succeeded in dumbing down people so that they cannot analyze. They don't want the information. You turn it up or you try to discuss something with somebody, and they get annoyed. They get agitated. They don't really know how to deal with it. They would prefer to just keep on with their games and their clothes and their entertainment and leave all the rest to whoever. You know, until they're in a position of loss, until they've lost everything, and then they wake up, but then it's too late. So I think this is kind of a wake-up call, and at least, if nothing else, at least people are discussing it enough that even if it's just for the entertainment value, people are you know, kind of responding a little bit to the fact that, hey, maybe everything you do is being monitored, and maybe that's not right. And in fact, it's illegal. So I think that should be more of the focus.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. I mean, I think you're making sense, but I'm still trying to figure out what your position is with respect to the... Well, actually, as of yesterday, the father reiterated with Anderson Cooper mm-hmm. what the government ought to do. Mm-hmm. And what the government ought to do, according to Lonnie Snowden and Bruce Fein, the attorney, who used to be a Reagan appointee, by the way, mm-hmm. what the government ought to do is to basically accept the suggested terms that they had outlined in a previous letter.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to bring Mr. Snowden back, and those terms, of course, would be he's not to be incarcerated. Mm-hmm. He's not to have his freedom of speech in any way impugned. He's to have the right to choose mm-hmm. where he is to be tried, where the trial ought to occur, and some other interesting demands that they have. And mm-hmm. so if these demands are met, Ed Snowden may be inclined to come back to the United States. But, of course, the trial as a spy or under espionage charges and so forth, they don't particularly care for those. So mm-hmm. the question is, should the U.S. government, in the scenario that we are facing with Mr. Snowden, mm-hmm. And the United States considers him a spy. The United yeah. States considers him a person who has leaked very sensitive information. Mm-hmm. And if the United States were to negotiate his return and negotiate the charges, that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
my position is that it doesn't matter what negotiations take place, because mm-hmm. you're negotiating with someone with an institution that does not honor any kind of agreement. So it doesn't matter whether you negotiate and you come to terms or not. What's going to happen to you is going to happen to you. So it would be wise to stay away.
All right. Thank you, Eric.
All right.
It would be wise to stay away, says Eric from Brooklyn. 888-874-4888. We have two questions on the table today. With the candidates, two candidates in particular, that are being, that are running under the umbrella, under the Democratic Party's banner for office, Eliot Spitzer, the disgraced ex-governor, running for the comptroller slot, and Anthony Weiner, the disgraced ex-congressman running for mayor, if the Democratic Party actually believes that these people are the best people to qualify for the Democratic Party banner, isn't it time to say to the Democratic Party, you know, we've had enough of your standards and goodbye, we're leaving you? And secondly, should the United States government negotiate Edward Snowden's return? And should it also negotiate whatever charges it is contemplating bringing against him, which is what the father, Elani Snowden, has put forward? 888-874-4888. It's quite interesting to see where the views are going back and forth, and we have some strident views so far. I like that. I like that. The idea is to just, let's hear what it is you're thinking. Okay. I have my own views, but I am not saying anything today. I'm listening mostly. I'm traffic cop. I'm just directing the traffic. Every now and then I'll ask a question, but I will render my opinion on another day, because it's going to be quite detailed, and I don't want to usurp time today at all. Today is the day for listeners to participate and to let us hear what your views are on these particular topics. Tell you what, it's almost at the half-hour mark. I think we should take a little break and come back while you get your calls together at 888-874-4888 right after this short break about great programming here at PRN.FM. Horace Silva with Doodlin', as he calls it. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and today we're talking about two subjects that may be of interest to you. I'd like to know what your opinion is. Should this be the time to say adios to the Democratic Party simply because it had the temerity to present for election some rather unsavory elements, including Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer? And should the U.S. government obey Mr. Lonnie Snowden, that's the father of Edward Snowden, Lonnie Snowden's suggestion that it negotiate to bring his son back to the United States, and it should also negotiate whichever charges that it should contemplate bringing against him? Pretty interesting questions, I think. 888-874-4888 is your number to call. This just in from Thomas Smith. He says, if we're going to punish the Democrats, let's do it for the right reasons. One, they're a capitalist party. B, they're the party of slavery, racism, anti-communism, and imperialism. C, Spitzer jailed Roger Toussaint for calling the strike of 2015 on. He should have been jailed by the rank and file for calling it off. And D, Weiner is a rabid racist Zionist. My two cents, he says. Well, that's his opinion. Let's hear what you have to say. What are your thoughts? 888-874-4888. I think it is a very interesting thing that the field was, you know, going along, and then all of a sudden we had two entrants, both Weiner and Spitzer, coming into this election as literally at the last minute, and in both instances commanding a pretty substantial position with respect to other opponents in the race, especially considering the circumstances under which they both left office. And it says something about the party. It says something about the people of the city of New York. And it says something about the candidates themselves, the idea that they believe that they have done enough time repenting by just simply being away or out of politics. And the attitude is, you know, I've done my time, I've gotten over it, and so should you. Why should you judge me on the basis of whatever it is I choose to do with my private life? But it isn't quite as simple as that, is it? In the case of Anthony Weiner, you have a guy who went through a great deal of apologies and to his wife and everybody. Same with Spitzer. They're all apologetic. And then, boom, they're candidates. And they're running under the Democratic Party's umbrella. Michael from New Jersey, what are your thoughts?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Utrice.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just make a couple of short comments on both of these things. You know, I think it brings to mind, like, how are these candidates brought forward, you know, because Spitzer, you know, runs out at the last minute to get, you know, hires a bunch of people to run around and get signatures, and that seems to be all that's needed. He waves his resume, you know, to everybody, and you know who I am, and I'm sorry about what I did, but I'm entitled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just a matter of getting some signatures, and, you know, it's not too difficult for him to do. And, of course, Weiner is just, I don't know, he just seems like just a ravenously ambitious person, you know, with a lot of problems, ambition probably being one of them. And that's his reason for running. But I think the big problem in New York, I'm not from New York, but I would be embarrassed. It's basically a personality race, a horse race there. You know, there's no issues. I think there's nobody has excited the people based on issues or exciting ideas or new things that they could do. They just say, you know, I just want the position. I want power. And, you know, elect me and you'll see good things. But I don't think anybody is, and one of the reasons with all this hoopla about sexual proclivities and everything is that nobody gets to hear the issues, and nothing gets debated except, you know, about somebody's, you know, not morally entitled to the position or is entitled to forgiveness or whatever. And so nothing gets talked about in terms of the problems of New York and the school system and the arts, you know, money for the arts and the culture, which is a big part of New York. And there's a lot of important issues, and there's no exciting ideas from anybody. So it turns into this, you know, ballet of little hippopotamuses out there. So that's what I have to say about that. I think that, yes, I think if the Democratic Party brings forth these characters, and creates this kind of, you know, show, you know, I think people should be turned off, and I think they should look for someplace else to get answers besides the political situation there that they're bringing forward. And as far as Snowden goes, well, I think that, you know, a debate has to be had first before the decision as to whether to negotiate with Snowden or if he's entitled to negotiate or anything. I think there has to be a debate before that which determines whether Snowden is a whistleblower or a traitor. And I think if you poll people, I think you get a pretty maybe 50-50 or 65, you know, 45, or, you know, 35 more people think he's a whistleblower than a traitor. And of course, the people in Congress are running around with their flags, of course. And here in New Jersey, Governor Christie's going to tie his rope to that train. saying that, you know, we need this to protect ourselves, and, you know, this is a libertarian argument, and, you know, these are crazy people, these libertarians, because he's running against that Paul character, you know, way out in the future, and he's getting going on that. So I think basically you have to determine, is he a whistleblower with the argument that he has exposed illicit activities? And because they are illicit activities and he's exposed it, he is entitled to be called a whistleblower. And as a whistleblower, he's entitled to rights. Or he's a traitor and we threw him in the gulag and, you know, we never hear from him again. So
okay.
I think that debate has to be before the determination of if he should get that. You know,
We could leave it right there. Gave us a good overview, and I'm sure people will react to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chris from Queens.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon to you.
I'd like to pose a question. I'd like to make two quick comments on both of these issues. And I'd like to put the question out to you as well. Who is the spy here when we're talking about Snowden? Putting aside the fact that the young man has not completed college and all of this other sort of accessory stuff that was, you know, assigned to him from the beginning that we looked at this, who is the spy here? In this particular case, the spy is the U.S. government or the intelligence agencies who are spying on its own citizens. Okay, that is not up for debate. Those people, in my opinion, who respond by saying that, well, I didn't do anything wrong, so why would I care? I think, since everyone has such totalitarian positions at this point, without any consideration for what a citizen of a country, you know, in a free country, and that's the important thing, a democratic country, the people who respond that way don't even deserve to vote, and they don't deserve to vote for the following reason. The question is, if that's how you feel, okay, what, not for whom, but for what are you voting for? Because that response, you know, nestled in that response is this complete sort of throwing off of any kind of personal responsibility. When you say, well, I haven't done anything wrong, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, why do you bother to vote? You know, in other words, you're just pushing any kind of participation that you as a citizen should probably have within your own society to somebody else. So you don't even deserve to vote. As far as Snowden being a traitor, people need to look up the definition of words. Okay, now, whether you like what he did or not, everybody's entitled to their opinions. He is not a traitor. He's not a traitor by definition because he has not revealed a traitor, I believe, by definition. Has when someone provides information to another country, that's a traitor. When you're revealing an illegitimate or illicit or illegal act on the part of your own government that you live in, okay, that's to whom are you a traitor? I mean, and I have to agree with Eric. I got in on the tail end of his comment. I tipped my hat off to Eric. He made a brilliant statement. You know. The ignorance in this country is more dangerous than any kind of terrorist or alleged terrorist that we're told about. And when I use the word ignorance, I don't mean in the sense that people can't read or maybe they don't know about a country because they've never read about it. It is a willful non-participation. Because if you look up in the dictionary...
But Chris, I need you to stay with the point. You're doing great so far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that the responses, you know what really amazes me in both of these issues? It amazes me the emotional trigger with which people respond in very black and white ways. And that's not even the fault of the people. It has a lot to do with the media, because I think that the media is toxic in this country. I don't have any respect I'm even including some of the alternative media, because they all fall into the same category. But I mean, there are a few exceptions, okay?
But let's what I want you to do is to just make a definitive statement, a concluding statement.
As far as Snowden is concerned, I thought that I did that in the beginning. He is not a traitor. he did something. Now, I just want to ask you a question, by the way. He was employed by a contracting firm, and I think, and I may be wrong about this, I think, I don't know, for lack of a better way of putting it, he was sort of rented out to the NSA. Isn't that correct? I mean, he wasn't directly.
Yeah, right.
Is that right? Okay.
But, so, but in a way, he was contracted, but he also was a kind of employee, if you will, because
right.
in order to work, he needed certain credentials from the company.
Right. But the reason I asked that question is because, and it makes a difference legally, because if he, in fact, was, you know, sort of contracted out, and I know that there, you know, it gets a little shady, then he might not fill the, you know, he might not really qualify for being called a whistleblower, okay? Because a whistleblower is a very specific term. A whistleblower is exactly what John Kiriakou did, who now is serving 3.5 years in jail. And in fact, if people would just flip it over, this particular agent who considered that another agent was, you know, involved in his waterboarding, that he considered torture, and he felt, in fact, I understand, he wanted to take it to court.
But Snowden did not ever describe himself as a whistleblower. He
right.
described himself, he said, he went with the intention of spying. He went with the intention of collecting this information. That's what
That's
he said.
That's what he did for a living,
yes.
right? I mean, he analyzed data, right?
But, I mean, no, but he said he went to this agency with that intention. So he wasn't basically, you know, some person who went in there and just saw things and then decided that he was going to blow the whistle.
Well, whatever. You know what?
But we have to move on, though.
I just
want to finish. So many people waiting.
I just
want to
finish. I just want to finish my last statement. Whatever the case may be, the point is here that the government is spying on us. And frankly, that does bother me as a citizen because I didn't sign up for that. As far as the Wiener.
But we'll have to leave it there, though.
Okay.
I must move on.
Right,
thank you, Chris.
Thank
you so much. Rashaba from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Thank you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
As far as the Democratic Party is concerned, to me, that's just subterfuge. You know, there are more important issues going on. There are more important candidates, you know, like John Liu and even Randy Cardico. You know, they are against, like, stock and frisk, and they want to negotiate with the unions. So what not, I believe that this news media, this news blanket that you get about these two candidates, it's just so that you really won't examine the possibility of having a mayor that's going to be able to turn things around and improve conditions for the people. That's as far as the Democratic Party is concerned there. But I think the people in New York have a good opportunity come September to vote for someone who's really going to change something, and I hope they don't get sidetracked with it. And if you don't mind, I'd like to say about Edward Snowden, you know, I have to agree with the lady just Dawn and Eric.
That's Chris.
I think it's important.
And Chris from Chris.
I'm sorry.
The person you were mentioning, the lady was Chris.
Yes, Chris
yes.
and Eric. I think it's important to understand that these guys are kind of like a modern Paul Revere in an analogy. What they did is they hopped on their path of life and chose to tell everyone about the evils that are coming, just like Paul Revere talked about the British are coming. These guys are talking about the tyrants are coming, the totalitarianism is coming. I think it's important for all good Americans to think about trying to preserve the Constitution as a minority. That was the only thing, really, that even helped them to get ahead, to gain middle-class status. And the Southern strategy is against that, really. You know, Reverend Representative Lewis was the only one who ever talked about when they had that the judgment by the Supreme Court about affirmative action, he wanted to know, do you have to wait another 150 years? And this is sort of like the same thing. If we know exactly what's going on, maybe we don't have to wait 150 years for the next type of situation. And
so should the government therefore negotiate to bring him back to the United States? And should the government also negotiate with Mr. Snowden as to what, if any, charges should be brought against him?
If they negotiate in good faith, because he needs a lawyer, and that's what lawyers do, negotiate charges. I mean, Halliburton just negotiated their complicity in the Gulf oil spill because they knew that it was built not according to specifications, but a limited number of pylons. And the Justice Department negotiated their fine down $200,000. And you saw the tragedy that happened from the Gulf oil spill. So get them a lawyer and let them negotiate. That's what lawyers do. It's all legal. Sure, why not, if you can do it. But then, on the other hand, Eric made a good point that negotiating in goodwill, good faith, is very important. And that's what he's talking about. That's what Eric Snowden and Bradley Manning and many other whistleblowers are talking about, that the government is not acting in good faith towards the citizens. It may be acting in good faith towards the people who are getting the money if you follow the money trail. So I say, yes, let them negotiate. Why not? Maybe then we'll be able to hear the discussion about what he's talking about. Because okay. You can't hear Bradley Manning talking about why he did what he did.
Well, thank you. Thank you for contributing that opinion today. Thanks a lot, Rishava. We next hear from Nana from Harlem.
Hi, this is Nana. I wanted to say that in dealing with Wiener and, let me put it this way. They say when you have lemonade, when you have lemons, make lemonade. But if you have lemons, and a lemonade you're going to make, it tastes just like lemons. It's not really good. And the whole government is a bunch of wieners. And just that wiener guy, he got caught. Bill Clinton, they didn't do anything with Bill Clinton. They still clap when they see Bill Clinton. And he didn't bother getting disbarred from being the president of the United Snakes of America. So the whole government...
There's something behind you that's on that's interfering. There's something that's on that we're hearing that is interfering with us hearing you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, now, what was the last thing that I said?
You just talked about Wiener and the United States of America.
The whole government system needs to be rearranged. They're nothing but a bunch of wieners in the government. And he just happened to get caught. It's conspiracy towards we the people. So it doesn't matter, like, from the top to the bottom, it doesn't matter who we vote for, as long as they're Democrat, Republicans, that's still free to do what they want to do, and we're like blind sheep. So I'm saying that the whole government needs to be changed because they're not for the people and by the people. Now they're for the big corporate money bags. So it doesn't matter who's in, it's going to, you know, they're all the same bedfellows. All the same bedfellows. What do you think of that, Mrs. Lee?
Well, I did say today is my day just to be traffic cop, but I have my thoughts. I'd like to save them for a minute because...
You are going to make some comments?
Yeah. Yes. I'll talk about these things.
Okay, because I'd like to hear what you have to say.
It's good to know what people... Yes, it's good to know what people are thinking.
I would like to say, I like to tell the people, leave Wiener alone because he if you want to do something, get rid of all of them. Also leave Wiener alone because there's no difference. He's just the one that opened the door. Let's open the door on the other candidates, especially Ms. What's her name? Can't think of her name now.
Oh, Ms. Christine Quinn?
Yeah. Okay, I understand she's a very overly feisty person with her employees when she cannot get her way. Have you heard about that one?
No.
Doesn't have a good temper. I mean, she has a very bad temper, I'm told. I've heard that over the news. All right, you know, so check out everyone else's personality, okay? And they're dirty. They all got dirt because, first of all, why would you be a politician if you've been at a certain time, even if you were good? Once you've been at a certain time, you just turn over and be like everybody else. It's like a disease. You know, like chicken pops? I don't know what we're going to call it. You stay in there too long, you get the chicken pops. Okay, that's it. Take care.
All right, thank you. Okay. Well, that's it. 888-874-4888. So we have opinions going all over the place today. That's quite interesting. And particularly interesting, I find, on the issue of Snowden. Very interesting. I have some ideas, really, too. I'm fighting myself. I don't want to talk today. I'm just trying to behave and do, traffic control. That's all I want to do today, to just get a sense of where people are going with this. Because, there are some very important things that are happening that look like it's about the candidates. And it really is far deeper than that. It speaks to a number of issues that people have been dealing with, but in different forms. Like, who is salvageable? Who is worthy of rehabilitation? Could a Latino or an African-American candidate present him or herself after any such situation in their lives and be a credible candidate? When you have an ex-governor who basically, this was huge, it still is huge, about soliciting prostitution, that's big. And he still has his law license. Look at what happened to Alton Maddox. Alton Maddox wasn't soliciting prostitution. And then they said, well, you can't practice law. There's a moral turpitude, which is what any lawyer found guilty of, moral turpitude, could lose their license. But he was an ex-governor. And not a particularly nice one either. And you see how society decides that certain people can be rehabilitated and you can give them the benefit of the doubt. It's what, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton got the benefit of the doubt. And he was immediately rehabilitated. And look, today he could go, he's the biggest thing running. I mean, very, very popular. Nobody even thinks Monica Lewinsky or anything like that, or impeachment or anything like that. Bill Clinton is a superstar. Nobody thinks of Bill Clinton as having to explain anything further. I mean, he was just a guy, and he was doing a guy thing, and get over it. And that's essentially the attitude. I have not encountered such generosity of spirit when it comes to anybody else. But it's amazing that these folks, they come forward. I mean, Anthony Weiner, given what he went through, and given the embarrassment and the shame, the feeling, the entitlement of power, you want to have it and you are entitled to have it, so much so that you just decide, hey, guess what, I'm going to go for broke anyway, and even if people laugh, let them laugh, whatever it is, but I just need to have my hands on something that says that I'm a powerful person. I am, as sick as he evidently is, the man has huge problems. He really has huge problems. And just the same, before the second round of shenanigans was uncovered, here is a guy who was given the benefit of the doubt. And all he had to do was just show up and claim it. That does not happen across the board. Not at all. So that's very fascinating about how people perceive who is redeemable, who is worthy of redemption, and who is not. And only because it went to the extreme this time. It would have been an embarrassment for the media to not say anything. Only now is it a huge problem. But how do you explain the fact that prior to this new round of this new revelation of him still continuing that practice, the guy came out of nowhere and was the leading candidate? What does that say about the quality of leadership in the city of New York? And what does that say about a party that would allow a person with such, such zings in his name to run under the Democratic Party banner? It must be that the Democratic Party has very low standards, and it has not just one, but it has two such candidates in this race, in this round of elections. That says a huge thing about the Democratic Party and its so-called standards. So people need to ask, what does it mean when a party finds that these two particular candidates are worthy of running under our banner? I mean, I don't want to make a, I don't want to sound like a prude, but I would think that that would bother somebody. You know, it would bother somebody that you have these people who were just train wrecks, and here they are again. And they're okay to run? Okay. Well, then, literally, anybody could run. It reminds me of a story I read just recently in a small town in Mexico. The leadership was just so bad, and people were so disgusted that in the recent election, which I don't think has been held yet, but in the election, the leading candidate that the people put up, and the candidate that the people put up was a cat. And the cat was in the lead. Maybe this is where New York has reached so far. You know, put up a cat. The cat would probably be elected mayor of the city of New York. That tells you about the quality of leadership that's available, and the quality of leadership that's available within the party itself. Really, really disgusting. Here's an input, and I read it from, let's see here. This is Livia saying, as far as the Democratic Party and its support for Mr. Wiener and Spitzer shows a lack of substance, I would and have said adios to the Democratic Party. If this is the best they can do, it's pretty sad that they're not fielding candidates. They sure don't represent their constituents. They think they can leave office and come back in a few years and everything is all right. I bet if I did some stuff like that, I would have to take it to my grave. Sick, sick, sick. All about power, money, and prestige. And with regard to the Snowden question, she says, what Snowden needs to learn is that if you're going to take a stance, fight for what you believe, and be willing to face the consequence. Sounds like a crybaby to me. Thank you, Livia, for that response. So that adds to the pot. Well, we at the end of our program today, I want to thank you for contributing your ideas and your thoughts. Of course, these things will be, you know, part of our ongoing discussion. Today, of course, I didn't have a chance to check because the sentencing of Bradley Manning was to occur just as we were going on the air. So I don't know what, if anything, has happened with respect to the sentence that was supposed to be handed down today, this afternoon specifically. But I want to thank you, and we'll see each other tomorrow, same time. Pass the word, and let's grow this audience right here at PRN.FM. I want to thank you, Harvey, Sarah, Eric, Michael, Chris, Rashaba, and Nana from Harlem. Thank you all for your comments, and Thomas and Livia. Thank you so much.